This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with the Live Feed.
On this episode of the Live Feed, we bring you Over the Back Fence, a community variety show in Lanesboro, Minnesota, which occurs monthly February through November on the second Friday of the month at 7:30. Over the Back Fence is made possible by the voters of Minnesota through a Minnesota State Arts Board Operating Support Grant, thanks to a legislative appropriation from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Over the Back Fence is produced in conjunction with the Lanesboro Arts Center and recorded by KFIL 103.1 FM in Preston, Minnesota. Enjoy tonight's show, complete with music, skits, poetry, and more. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to The Live Feed.
The following program is a production of the Lanesboro Radio Company's Over the Back Fence. It was recorded before a live studio audience on Friday, April 11th at the St. Main Theater in Lanesboro. The theme of the show is 1940s and features the Rhubarb Sisters. At the end of the show, please enjoy the music of our pre-show entertainment, Patchy Ground Fog.
Hello, my name is Ann, and I'm here to welcome you to this evening's performance of Over the Back Fence. Our theme tonight is the 40s. Our host is Damon Presterman with Maria on piano. Now here's Damon.
Good evening and welcome to the Lanesboro Arts Center presentation of Over the Back Fence. We're celebrating our 20th year. Tonight our theme is the 1940s. Tonight's special musical guests are the Rhubarb Sisters. Yeah. We'll also be hearing from Jason Sethery from Visit Bluff Country Magazine, Ken Grainer from Merchants Bank, and we'll also be hearing about Lanesboro BP and S&A Petroleum. I'm your host, Damon Presterman, and please join me in welcoming tonight's special musical guest director, Maria Klingsheim. Yeah.
Hello, Damon.
Welcome back, Maria.
Thank you.
It seems like it's been nearly a year since you were here last.
Has it been nearly a year, Damon?
I don't know. It just seems like it, I said, so I can say whatever I want.
I guess.
Seems like yesterday that you were here.
Yes.
What have you been up to these days since we've last seen you?
Well, since you last saw me, I've been keeping busy at work, and we have a new member of our family coming August. Yes.
Well, what does that mean? You're going to have like an aunt or an uncle stop by?
Right. No.
Or is the stork circling above your home?
The stork is circling, yes. And so we will be proud parents in August.
Well, very good.
Yeah, thank you.
There's an outside chance that child will be musical.
I hope so.
Yeah, there's an outside chance. Speaking of music, look at here. We've got the Back Fence Gang joining us. This is Swinging on a Star.
Ears. He can't stop at anything he hears. His back is bright.
Fence Gang, Swinging on a Star. Hey, you know, the 1940s were, you know, kind of the golden era of good music, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, we're going to hear
stuff,
a lot of
stuff.
It. There was all kinds of other neat stuff, too. You know, the 1940s, television was not that prevalent in the 1940s, so a lot of people got their entertainment from the radio.
They did,
and so in kind of homage to that, we've got the Back Fence Gang gathering as we take a look at Radio Days.
Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys, show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions known throughout the land.
Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Yes, Palm Olive Soap, your beauty soap and luster cream shampoo, are pleased to bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Well, a couple of years ago, our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, is obliged to invite the principal and his wife over for dinner. On these occasions, the fact that she's extremely fond of Mrs. Conklin and feels rather differently about her principal presents a problem.
Yes, how to sprinkle ground glass in the food without getting them both.
Henry, Aldrich.
Coming, Mother.
Yes, it's the Jell-O family.
J-E-L-L-O.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, America's favorite battling twosome, the Bickersons.
I just don't understand how two people can dirty so many dishes. Seems like I just get through one stack and then there's another. I tell you, John Bickerson, I'm not going to stand for this much longer. Every one of my friends has a maid. John Bickerson.
Huh?
How can you fall asleep at the breakfast table?
Well, it ain't easy with all this talking going on. Hi-ho, Silver! Away!
A fiery horse with the speed of light. A cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho, Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
And now from Hollywood, The Red Skelton Show, starring the affable, comical, charming, amiable, delightful, gregarious, witty, lovable, funny man of many characters, Mr. Red Skelton.
A Signal Oil Company and your neighborhood signal dealer bring you another curious story by the Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things when I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women that have stepped in the shadows. Presently, I'll tell you of the nameless terrors for which they dare not speak.
And now the romance of Helen Trent, the real life drama of Helen Trent, who, when life mocks her, breaks her heart, hopes, dashes her against the rocks of despair, fights back bravely, successfully, to prove what so many women long to prove, because a woman is 35 or more. Romance and life need not be over. That romance can begin at 35.
Now get this and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road, and those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison, or the grave. There's no other end, but they never learn.
Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. The refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment presents Raymond Chandler's most famous character in The Adventures of Philip Marlowe.
He matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life so that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet.
It's adventure time with Orphan Annie.
It's Captain Midnight. Yes, Captain Midnight, brought to you every Monday through Friday by those makers of Ovaltine, America's favorite food drink. Delicious, nutritious, instant Ovaltine.
Hi, kids. You better come a-running. It's old Smiling Ed and his Buster Brown gang.
Roma Wines, R-O-M-A. Roma Wines presents another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
From the makers of Alka-Seltzer and from all of us here at the WLS Barn Dance, we thank you for being with us, and come visit us the old Hayloft again next Saturday night at the same time. Y'all come again, you hear?
That's the Over the Back Fence gang with a look at radio shows from the 1940s.
You know, I saw up on the screen before the show. Oh, by the way, for those of you listening at home, you should be here in this with the studio audience, because that was a sight to behold, watching all those people run around here on the stage. It was impressive. Each one of those voices, they each had their own costume on, so there was many costume changes. It was like 75 costume changes.
That's right.
Also, that was all, those were all different people. You weren't hearing the same voices, for those of you at home either. So come on down to the show. We're here the second Friday of every month all the way through October, right here at the beautiful St. Main Theater in downtown Lanesboro. You know, earlier on the screen here in the theater, there was some information about different things from the 1940s, and one of them was that the Andrews sisters were from Minnesota. I didn't know that until just today. Did you know?
I didn't either.
Yeah. And so they had a lot of good songs, though. I do know that from the 40s.
They did.
And I would like to hear from the Andrews sisters. Since they're from Minnesota, they could be here tonight. In fact, again, if you are listening at home, be here now, because the Andrews sisters have arrived.
He was a famous trumpet man from out Chicago way. He had a
a folky style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He loads it eight to the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He is some boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he's as busy as a blues bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump at eight to the bar. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Doodly-yada, doo-doo, he blows at eight to the bar. He can't play at all, the basic guitar's playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Because he knows how he plays when someone gives him a beat. He really picks it up when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a tootly attitude. He blows it into the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is played with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Barb, Sandy, Rachel, the Andrews sisters. Yeah. That's Barb, Sandy, and Rachel doing their best as the Andrews sisters. For those of you that are listening at home and aren't down here at the St. Main Theater, we also have a 50-member orchestra played along. For those of you in the studio audience, roll with it when you see the people at the grocery store, okay? Hey, a great big thank you goes out to some of our sponsors. Without them, we wouldn't be able to be up here tonight, including Bluff Country Computer Works, Cedar Valley Resort, Sally's Hair to Die For, Lanesboro Public Library, Gilby's Pizza and Sandwich Shop, and F&M Community Bank. I see Peggy across the fence. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
How are you?
Okay.
What do you have for us this evening?
Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talking about things you'd like to do. You've got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true?
I'm so happy to be here. One of the things that make me happy, and might make you happy too, is a juicy, red, ripe garden tomato. Right? Just one of the great joys and pleasures of life. I'm looking forward to having tomatoes this year in our garden. Now, I can't see out there very well in the audience. So those of you who grew tomatoes in your yard or somewhere, you know, your own tomatoes, last year, would you raise your hand, please? Oh, look at that. Lots of, and did you have other things growing in a garden besides tomatoes? Oh, not as many. So, but tomatoes are very important, and gardens are very important. And during World War II, victory gardens were very important. And there were different reasons for the victory gardens. The main reason was there were canned goods were rationed. So if you wanted vegetables, you kind of had to grow them yourself or can them at home. Transportation, trains and trucks were used for the war effort. And so the shipping of vegetables was compromised that way. So people had to grow more in their own local areas. And people felt like this was, they were contributing to the war effort by making sure that the troops had enough food and and there were no food shortages. Now, I looked up, there's some pretty interesting statistics about when people were doing victory gardens. At their peak, there were more than 20 million victory gardens in this country, and that's one for every seven people. And also, in 1944, victory gardens produced 40% of all the vegetables grown in the United States. So here's my question. So all these people were having these gardens that took time and work, and what motivated them? Patriotism, specifically having an enemy. And think about this. It's like, why? And nowadays, not near as many people have gardens. Perhaps it's because we don't have enough enemies. And we need to think about this. We need to make garden growing a patriotic act, which I personally think it is. I think that there are huge national security issues here. And I want to talk about those in a minute. Just give you a few things to think about. And are you doing your part? And if you don't have a garden, you're not doing your part. It's 2014, and 1944 was 60 years ago? 70. 70 years ago. And I worry that we've even lost the knowledge, you know? I mean, everybody who knew how to garden is dead. It's terrible. And although I know there's a lot of people who still garden, I happen to be married to one of them, thank God. Because then I don't have to do the work. Okay, so gardening, you know, to me it's about pleasure, flavor, health, exercise, saving money, because I'm frugal. So, you know, there's all these reasons, but those apparently aren't good enough because we need enemies. So, here I would like to give you some ideas for an enemy that you might want to, might motivate you. This is a little bit serious here. One is obesity, you know. Okay, obesity. And eating more fruits and vegetables and working in a garden is definitely one way to fight obesity. And even the Department of Defense, and I'm serious, the Department of Defense is worried about this because there's not enough like fit, you know, like cannon fodder out there. Sorry. But really, fitness is an issue, and I think it has been identified as a problem by the military, so I think they're right on board with fighting obesity. And here's another one. The high costs of health care, because people, even if you've got good insurance, we're still all in this together. We are. We're all going to pay for this somehow, and it's really scary if you're looking into the future. So if we have gardens, we'll be healthier, and we can help our country afford more money for roads and bridges and less for health care. Okay. All right. And then last but not least, you know, people are talking all the time about dependence on foreign oil, right? Well, I got news for you. I am a lot more worried about dependence on imported food. So, in 1998 to 2000, in that little time period, we imported vegetables in this country, and about 17.1% of our vegetables that we ate in America then were imported. And you know, that's okay with me. I mean, hey, I like avocados. Although actually, you can get those from Florida too. And about 10 years later, 2010, 2012. So what percentage of our vegetables do you think were imported during that period? Anybody want to guess? Did I hear 30? Somebody else said 50? Well, 30, you almost got 31.2% of our vegetables are imported. And I don't know, just think about that. Do we really feel good about that? And then California, which is part of the United States of America, although it's different from here, they are part of our country. And right now, and this to me is also, I'm awake at night worrying about these things. We get right now in this country, of our produce that is grown in this country, so okay, of the maybe 70% or so that we are growing here and not importing from other places, 80% of that is from California. California could hold us hostage. In a heartbeat, they could have anything they want. Think about it. So I just think for national security purposes, I would like you all to think about planting your own victory garden. Thank you.
That's Peggy with a look at the victory garden. So plant some cucumbers and fight Al-Qaeda. Myself, I'm going to plant some string beans and I'm taking on Putin.
I can't grow anything, Damon.
You can't grow anything?
No, I kill everything. Everything.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you're pregnant.
I know.
Let's hope your garden's a little bit more victorious.
Let's hope.
Sounds like something she should have told her husband first, doesn't it?
Oh, he knew.
He knew?
Yes.
And he still,
we're still
planted
in it together.
The seed, yes, in that garden?
All right, let's keep a G there, Dave.
Well, could somebody bring us back to sanity? Just play a simple melody, would you?
Won't you play a simple melody like my mother sang to me? One with good old-fashioned harmony. Play a simple melody.
Musical demons, set your honey a-dreamin', won't you play me some rag? Just play that classical nag to some sweet, beautiful drag. If you will play me a copy from a tune that is choppy, you'll get all my applause. And that is simply because I want to listen to rag. Musical demons, set your honey a-dream, and won't you play me some rag? Just change that classical
like
rag
my mother
to some sweet,
to
beautiful
me.
Drag. If you will play
one
from a copy or a tune that is choppy, you'll get all my applause.
Harmony.
And that is simply
play
because I want to listen to rag.
My heart is palpitating with all this syncopation when I hear a band. And when I'm with my honey, my feet start acting funny when I hear a band. It's really not surprising, my temperature keeps rising when I hear a band. So pardon all my swooning, my crazy way of crooning when I hear a band. My heart is palpitating with all this information.
Won't you play me some
when I hear a band?
Just change that classical
my
rag.
Honey, my feet start acting funny
sweet, beautiful
when
rag.
I hear a band. It's really not surprising,
with
my temperature keeps rising when I hear a band.
That is
so pardon all my swooning, my crazy way of tuning
rag.
When I hear a band.
Robin, Sandy, and Dick, with a little bit of help from John over there on congas, play a simple melody. Wow, that was kind of nice and pleasant. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Damon.
What do you have for us this evening?
I'm going to be reading an excerpt from Pippi Longstocking. It was published in 1945 and written by Astrid Lindgren. And it includes her two friends, Tommy and Annika. Pippi went on down the street, walking with one foot on the pavement and the other in the gutter. Tommy and Annika watched her until she was out of sight. In a moment, she returned, walking backwards. This was so she shouldn't have to take the trouble to turn around when she went home. When she came level with Tommy and Annika's gate, she stopped. The children looked at each other in silence. At last, Tommy said, "Why are you walking backwards?" "Why am I walking backwards?" said Pippi. "This is a free country, isn't it? Can't I walk as I please? Why, let me tell you that in Egypt, everyone walks that way, and no one thinks it the least bit odd." "How do you know that?" asked Tommy. "You haven't been to Egypt, have you?" "Have I been to Egypt? You can bet your boots I have. I have been all over the world and seen odder things than people who walk backwards. I wonder what you would have said if I'd walked on my hands like the people do in Indochina."
"That can't be true," protested Tommy.
Pippi considered this for a moment. "Yes, you're right," she said sadly. "I wasn't telling the truth." It's so wicked to lie," said Annika, who had at last found her tongue. "Yes, it is very wicked," said Pippi, even more sadly. "But I forget once in a while, you see. How can you expect a little child whose mother is an angel and whose father is a cannibal king and who has spent her life sailing the seas to tell the truth anyways?" "And for that matter," she said, a smile spreading all over her freckled face, "I can tell you that in the Belgian Congo, there isn't a single person who tells the truth. They tell fibs all day, every day, beginning at 7 in the morning and keeping it up till sunset. So if I should happen to tell a little fib sometimes, you must try to forgive me and remember that it's only because I've been a little too long in the Belgian Congo. We can still be friends, can't we?"
That's Laura with a look at Pippi Longstocking. That was nice. I forget how funny those are, actually, all those old kind of things like that. Well, it's time for us to take a little visit with another one of our fine sponsors, and I see him working his way to the stage now, passing through the orchestra, working his way up here to the stage. Please join me in welcoming from Visit Bluff Country Magazine, this is Jason Sethry. Welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And first of all, we should thank you for supporting Over the Back Fence. I know that you and your other publication, the Fillmore County Journal, has supported us for quite a while, and we really appreciate that.
Well, we're happy to be here, and I love coming and watching the show.
Well, that's good. You should come more often. Like, instead of just when you're doing the sponsor interview, you should come more often. And you would enjoy it every time.
If you want to watch my kids.
Normally when this show is going on, I'm a little busy. But they could come sit by me if they'd like. Jason, I see you carrying something in your hand. You know, I didn't realize that you were responsible for Visit Bluff Country Magazine. What does that magazine talk about?
Well, it's been around. Actually, this next issue coming out early next week will be our 29th issue, so it's been around since 1985. It's gone through many evolutions to the point where it's at now, and it's distributed in 23 counties in the tri-state area, so it's kind of evolved and expanded and all over Bluff Country. So, it's a beautiful area.
What can we expect to see in Visit Bluff Country magazine?
It's going to highlight every single community within our region, northeast Iowa, southwest Wisconsin, southeast Minnesota. It's going to have a calendar of events going on from now until the end of the year of 2014. And then also you're going to have a directory of businesses and stuff like that so people can look up restaurants and hotels and things to do and places to go in the area.
So if I found myself, let's just say, in La Crosse, Wisconsin or something, and I was wondering where to go to eat, if I spotted Visit Bluff Country Magazine, it would help me, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and actually we're going to be debuting our brand new website within the next week. That'll be completely up and live and ready to go, and we've been working on that through SMG Web Design to get that up to be the most comprehensive website for the historic Bluff Country region.
Is SMG Web Design, are they a sponsor of this program?
No, but that was a shame.
Okay, well, that's enough about that. Thought he snuck that in there on me. Nice job. I got to give you credit. You've been on the show a few times. You know how to get things by me, don't you?
Yeah, I got this figured out.
Yeah, you do. Well, we've appreciated you sponsoring us this year. Maybe we'll let you sponsor us next year. I don't know. Tell me a little bit about what else you got going on at the Journal.
Well, we're keeping busy. A lot of different things that we're covering. Just trying to keep up with all the stories for the summer. Like any small business, we operate with a smaller staff right now. We're a little bit short-staffed. One of our employees just had a baby, which is exciting, and it seems like, I don't know, it's kind of like when you get a car, then you start noticing everybody else driving the same car. It seems like there's just a lot of kids being born over the next few days.
And you, I suppose you just now realized that you've got kids.
I did, but yeah, my sister actually is due in August to have triplet boys. So I told her, I said, I'll babysit when they turn 10.
That's very nice of you. And I'll be happy to babysit when they turn 30.
Well, we'll take you up on that.
All right. Well, again, Jason, we really appreciate your support. That's Jason Sethry from Visit Bluff Country Magazine. I like Jason quite a bit. And if you guys are anything like me, when Monday rolls around, or as soon as you can get a chance to get your hands on that Fillmore County Journal, you got to read it from start to finish because you never know what your next-door neighbor is up to. I appreciate the fact that he's included those police reports, too. Raise your hand if you go to that page first. For those of you at home, everybody raised their hand. Well, there's been a tradition rolling around Lanesboro for, well, a few years, and we'll find out how long here in a little bit. But right now, we are blessed to have here on our stage, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Rhubarb Sisters!
Grow little roots.
the Rubon Sisters. Holy mackerel. Ladies, how are you? It's so nice to see you again.
Thanks, Damon.
Tell us who you are.
We're feeling tart.
We are?
Very good.
Tart?
Little tang.
Nothing that a little bit of sugar couldn't cure. How about a little brown sugar? For those of you at home, never mind. You gotta come to the show, but get your tickets on Wednesday.
Oh boy.
So tell me, who is taking part? Who are the Rhubarb Sisters this year?
I'm Elizabeth Fugelstead, and I'm from Chatfield.
And I'm Peggy Hansen, and I'm from Lanesboro.
I'm Julie Keeney, and I'm from Lanesboro. Even though I now work in Rochester, I'm still living in Lanesboro. Because I love Lanesboro.
Rural Lanesboro. Rural.
Yes.
And I'm Beth Hennessy, and I live in rural Lanesboro.
And who do you have over there accompanying you this evening?
This is Valerie Wilson, who will be playing piano on our show this May 31st. We're doing
what a nice segue. Yeah. So you do have a little something coming up here at the end of May.
We do, yes.
A really big show.
It's very big.
Really big show.
Now, you all need to put it in your calendar. May 31st, not Rhubarb Festival Day. Now, this is due to the fact that Peggy's son is getting married on the day of Rhubarb Festival.
He refused
to change the day of his wedding.
Yeah, right.
No respect for rhubarb.
None whatsoever.
Are you still speaking to him, Peggy?
Of course. Oh, my baby boy.
Very good. You're still speaking to him, but not that new woman of his. Wouldn't change the date from Rhubarb Fest.
Yes.
So tell me, do you have a couple other songs for us, ladies?
You bet.
All right. Let's hear a couple more from the Rhubarb Sisters.
This next one we chose specifically because the theme tonight is the 1940s. And this was Doris Day's first number one hit in 1945 when the war was coming to an end. And it became the unofficial homecoming song for the veterans coming home. I wanna go home.
Gonna take a sentimental journey.
I wanna come home.
Gonna set my heart at ease.
I wanna go home.
Gonna make a sentimental journey.
Back home.
To renew old memories.
Got my bag.
I got my reservation.
Spent my dough.
All aboard.
Seven.
That's the time we leave at seven. I'll be waiting up for heaven. Counting every mile of railroad track that takes me back.
I want to go home.
Never thought my heart could be so yearning.
I want to go home.
Why did I decide to roam?
I wanna go home.
Gonna take a sentimental journey.
Back home.
Sentimental journey home.
And you'll notice that that one didn't actually mention rhubarb.
It didn't. How did we do that?
That happens very rarely. But we all know that finding happiness in your own backyard, which is home, is what rhubarb is all about.
Yes, that's right. Good.
Takes ideas that show
pretty rhubarb plant. How my heart sings when you return once again. I will pick and prepare you so that I can share you. People tell me that they like rhubarb pie. It's a gift from the heart that we must glorify. And the love that's found in a rhubarb plant means that we are all nuts about you.
I love this rhubarb, its taste is so tangy. One bite makes my mouth long for more. I love a bite now to get that flavor right now. I'll catch a nice guy in a flash if I'm frying a sweet rhubarb garnish for two. So grab my skillet, I'm ready to grill it, 'cause I'm nuts about you.
Pretty rhubarb, and what might my plans for today be? I'm maintaining and proclaiming for the naming of this day for rhubarb. People tell me it's the season when we pick lots of rhubarb for freezing, and the love held, it's the reason. That's why I'm nuts about you. Pretty rhubarb plant, pretty rhubarb plant, and all my heart makes my mind for days again. I will sit and prepare you to me, and sad as I can share you. People tell me that they don't like rhubarb plant. It's a gift from the heart that was glorified.
The Rhubarb Sisters. Don't forget, coming up May 31st, right here at the St. Main Theater. It's the annual Rhubarb Sisters concert right here at the St. Main Theater, coming up May 31st. And I believe the following weekend is Rhubarb Fest right here in Lanesboro. So don't forget about that. I want to get my hands on a pair of those pink Chuck Taylor high tops.
I was thinking the same thing.
You think they'd let me join the group if I got a pair of those? You answered that awfully quickly. What if I was willing to wear the dress too? Would that matter? That might give me a little better shot.
Maybe.
Yeah, it might. Oh, I just got word from one of the sisters. They don't have a fifth dress.
Oh.
So I'd be.
You just missed it.
Out of luck. Hey, great big thank you goes out to Coffee Street Fitness Center and Dance Studio, Pedal Pushers Cafe, Niagara Cave, Lanesboro Arts Center, Riverside on the Root Restaurant and Outfitters, and Merchants Bank. You know, one of our sponsors is the Lanesboro BP and S&A Petroleum. They have been very, very kind to us over the years. They have sponsored this program for quite a while, but they just never show up to talk about it. I don't know. So for those, raise your hands if you've ever been to the Lanesboro BP. All right, for those of you at home, everybody's raising their hand. And so you know what's there, right? It's gas. There's like three different kinds. There's like regular and unleaded and diesel. They have windshield washer fluid stuff. They have a little bit of a convenience store there. They have stuff, you know? Propane, right? Propane, ice. You get ice there. You get lottery tickets. A lot of the things you can get at most every gas station, you can get at this one. But they are the best gas station in Lanesboro. Could you help me?
Sure.
Well, here's what I need. I need a beautiful song from the 40s performed by a very talented woman. Can you arrange for that to happen?
I want to be able to do something.
This is Maria Klingsheim.
Mm-hmm.
Stormy
Thank
weather.
You. Thank you.
My heavens. Well, whew, you are good.
Thank you, Damon.
You are good. That is very nice. Well, we have a chance right now to visit with another one of our sponsors because some of the folks that do sponsor this show like to come here and talk about their place of business. And this guy is kind of important to us because he is from Merchants Bank, which is our only bank in town here. We're glad to have him. Please join me in welcoming Ken Grainer. Welcome. Now, Ken, I was just into the bank the other day, and I saw you wandering around there. You're in an office, so it must feel pretty familiar.
Yep, it feels great to be back in Lanesboro.
We're glad to have you, and we're glad to have Merchants Bank here in Lanesboro with us. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on over at Merchants Bank.
You know, we've got some promotional things going on a regular basis. Starting Monday, we got a CD promotion. We have no closing costs for home equity loans during the short period of time here. And, you know, we just got other things going on in the community and just here to support any other things that are happening in the community like this show and presentation.
We're glad to have you, and we're glad to have Merchants Bank in the community. I don't like the Green Bay Packers. That's all I'm going to say. We got to let that one simmer for a second, Ken. It takes them a while.
I'm not a big fan of the Packers either.
Very good. Very good. And I don't like those big conglomerate of banks that are from that area in particular. So it's nice to have someone local, because Merchants Bank is really essentially a local bank, isn't it?
Yes, it is. They're headquartered in Winona. They have various other locations throughout southeastern Minnesota and across into Wisconsin.
Well, we really appreciate your continued support of Over the Back Fence, and we're glad to have you back in town all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Ken Grainer from Merchants Bank right here in Lanesboro. Thank you, Ken. Well, you know, one thing nice about hosting a show like this is we get to visit with folks from all over the area who have something to share, and it's a lot of fun for us to be able to do that. And so joining us right now, as I look out over the back fence, I see Bill Conley. How are you today?
Good.
Now, Bill, I'm going to ask you to walk right up here to this microphone and you got to have faith in us that none of us are sick, because you got to put your face right in it there, Bill, because they want to hear you. Now, tell me a little bit about yourself, Bill. What are you doing here today?
Well, what am I doing here today?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. No, I'm a bit of a storyteller in my old age. I happen to be 77, but I've written books about my early life in Lanesboro. I was born in the front bedroom of a brick home up on Kenilworth, and then we moved to our farm just a mile west on Highway 16, and that's where I grew up.
Oh, wow. Well, so when they said that you were going to be on the show, I didn't know that you were coming home.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, you mentioned you have a book.
The book is called The Meanderings of an Aging Soul. That's me. And then I've also written a book about the Minnesota American Indians. I happen to have started an Indian fund several years ago to reach out to entrepreneurs. Those are people who are starting businesses on the Minnesota reservation. So for 11 years, while I was on the staff at the University of St. Thomas, I traveled to the Indian reservations. And so I got to know quite a bit about them and a little bit about the culture and whatnot. And I have some of that to share. And the last thing, I even have some pottery. That's another thing. And once you retire in life, you search out new things to do. And one of those, for me, has been pottery.
Did you bring something to read for us
today?
Well,
yeah. What I thought I might do is just share two or three excerpts from some of the essays that are in the book that I'll have out and back. And I'll just read a little bit from each one and hopefully give you a flavor of what's in the book, you know, and... And so the first one, if
very
I can
good.
Start.
This is Bill Conley.
Yeah, thanks. The first one is entitled The Old Red Barn. And many of you won't know this, but I'll tell you right away, is that my dad purchased the ice house in Lanesboro in 1942 and tore it down and transported it out to our farm. And that barn still stands today. I've written just a little bit about it, and if I could just read a few lines from that. It says, the old red barn on our farm, which is just outside of Lanesboro, is a transplant. It wasn't there when we moved to the farm in 1941. It came to us in pieces in 1942. I recall going with my dad to the ice house downtown, which was situated at the time just across the river. And on the way, you can right past where it was, you could either go to the Irish Ridge to the right or to Little Norway to the left. And it was ideally situated below the pond so that it could serve its purpose. But in 1942, some of you might recall, most of us were just beginning to get refrigerators for the first time. And I recall the inside of the building was real cavernous and dark. And, you know, you wondered what was going on. It was full of sawdust. There were no lights in there. You had to open a door. I recall that. And my dad bid on purchasing that building, and eventually moved it out to our farm. And it came out on hay wagons, and we, because of the width of some of the pieces, I recall, we had to take the road up to Eisner's, if you're familiar with that, and go the back route back to our farm. So I encourage you that if you're just visiting here today, and you're going home tomorrow perhaps, or even if you are here, is to just take a look. It's the farm just less than a mile on Highway 16 going west, and it's a little bit hidden there, but you'll be able to see it from the road. It's that building, and so it's really kind of interesting, but. The building has really afforded me with many memories because I grew up on that farm from 1941 until I was 18 or 19 years old, and I enjoy telling about the stories about that farm and the barn especially. The next one I'll just speak briefly about is called Summer in a Jar. And as rituals go, the one that I enjoyed most as a child was the annual farming family gardening program that we had. Everything from fertilizing and plowing and planting and on to hoeing, harvesting, and canning all the fruits and vegetables, it followed a venerable track virtually every year. By fall, long after the spring start, the shelves in our root cellar in the basement of our home, with its dirt floor and naked bulb, served as a repository for all of the various fruits and vegetables that my mother made. And to this day, I've never figured out, because everything was in glass jars, why they called it canning. Can you help me? But in those days, and I'm sure it's true today for those who are canning, it's a real ritual. But I said, certainly in life, that wasn't the only ritual on our farm. In one sense, our life was tidal. It was ordered by the gravitational pull of morning and evening milking, up to the barn at 6:30 or 7 each morning, and back home at 6 in the evening, 365 days a year. Baby chicks came in the mail in February. Remember, they all went and they came by mail? And they turned into laying hens before the summer was over. Then calves and baby pigs came usually in April or May, or March and April, I'm sorry, and they provided us an opportunity to enjoy the mystery and the wonderment of observing birth on the farm. That firsthand experience meant a whole lot to me through my life, you know. So it wasn't just all wide mouth ball and mason jars. It was what was in them and the importance of growing your own garden. Maybe it was a victory garden. The last one I'll share with you is my Aunt Rose Bell was a teacher of mine. And some of you may know or have heard of Rose, and I've written quite a bit about her. But I will say this, that on Labor Day, Labor Day came and the first day of school quickly followed it. On the first day of school, Rose told us that we would be pursuing Shakespeare and Homer. As students, we were nonplussed because our vast awareness of Shakespeare, including knowing that it was the name of a fishing lure that was used up in the lakes in northern Minnesota, and Homer was something that was hit down at the ball field downtown. Little did we know what we were up against with this new teacher. But it didn't take long for Rose to convert us. She created a classroom culture of toughness and fairness, and before long, we look forward to going to class every day of the week. So those are just three of the stories. There are probably about 60 in the story, and if you're interested in them, I'll be glad to visit with you afterwards. Thank you.
That's Bill Conley, author of Minnesota American Indians and Meanderings of an Aging Soul. You know, it occurs to me that there were some food products created in the 40s, and I think we should hear about one of those whenever we get a chance. I should point out that a great big thank you goes out to some of our sponsors, including Thomas M. Mannion, attorney at law, Great River Shakespeare Festival, Drury's Furniture, Green Gables Inn, Lanesboro BP and S&A Petroleum, Preston Foods, and visit Bluff Country Magazine. Well, right now what's happening is we are moving the orchestra out of the way, getting some of our backline players out of the way, moving up to the front line. Please join me in welcoming Bonnie and Sandy.
Oh, give me some Spam with that grand monogram, so my pantry will have a supply of that Spam luncheon meat. On a sandwich it's neat, and for breakfast it's easy to fry. Spam, Spam on the range, though the looks people give you are strange. You can judge for yourself, put more Spam on your shelf, for you'll see no good reason to change.
Bonnie and Sandy, taking a look at some Spam. Hey, Maria, you know, normally when you come to the show, you have something that's going to happen in the near future. Is that the case this
time? That's usually the case, yes, and it is the case this time. A lot of the same music that we've heard tonight, if you're not here on May 9th for the radio show, which you could actually do both things that weekend, but May 9th and May 10th in Spring Valley at Valley Christian Center, we actually are putting on a 1940s gala event with, like I said, a lot of the same music and skits and things like that. But what it is a fundraiser for Mission 21, which is an organization out of Rochester, Minnesota, that is anti-human trafficking. And so it's a subject that's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts to get awareness out for this tragedy that's going on in the world, and we want to be a part of that. And so if you want to come on down, there's no ticket price to get in, but it is a free will offering, and we have some information looking, they look like tickets out on the ticket booth out here. So if you want to grab that, that would be great, or pass it along to somebody else who might be able to be to go.
Sure, May 9th and 10th at the
Valley
Christian Center.
And May 9th is at 7 p.m. and May 10th is at 1:30 p.m.
All righty. Well, see, with the way you sing and play, that's going to be a great show. There's no doubt about it. Hey, I see Bonnie and George. How are you guys doing?
Just fine.
Wonderful.
The 1940s are known as the golden age of radio.
One of the most popular radio shows was a comedy called Fibber McGee and Molly.
In almost every episode, Fibber had a conversation with a character named Teenie.
A precocious little girl who lived next door.
Hiya, Mr. Hey, McGee!
Teenie, where'd you come from? You'd like to scare the fillings out of my teeth. How did you get in here anyway?
Oh, I got in here okay, you bet. I got in here because Mrs. McGee let me in the back door. That's how I got in here. What you doing in that big chair? You're not taking a nap, are you? Because it isn't nap time yet. I take a nap sometimes in the afternoon when my mommy is tired out. She says she needs to rest, so she makes me take a nap. Is that why you're taking a nap, huh, mister? Are you tired, huh? Mister, are you, huh?
If I wasn't tired before, I am now. I got worn out just trying to keep up listening to you.
Well, if you want to take a nap, I can tell you a bedtime story. I sure can. You want me to tell you a story so you can take a nap, huh? Do you, mister? It's a nice story if you want me to tell you a story.
Well, look, sis,
story's a good one, you bet. It's about a girl named Cinderella who had two ugly stepsisters and a naughty stepmother, and they were really mean to Cinderella, had to scrub the floors and wash the clothes and do all the work and couldn't go to the ball at the palace. But then the fairy godmother came and waved her magic wand, and Cinderella was all pretty, and she went to the ball in a fancy carriage that the fairy grandmother made from a pumpkin. But Cinderella had to be home at midnight, and when she ran from the palace, she lost her glass slipper, and the prince found it and brought it to Cinderella, and it fitted on her foot just right, and they got married and lived happily ever after. Want to hear another story, huh? Do you, mister, huh?
I think one of your stories is all I can handle. The way you tell them, Gone with the Wind could have been written on a penny postcard.
Well, what time is it, mister? Because I don't have a watch, and I have to be home in time for lunch. And maybe I better go so I'm not late for lunch, because I'm hungry, and it must be lunchtime. Is it, mister, huh? Is it time for me to go?
It was time for you to go the second you walked in.
Oh, I can just go out the front door, because it's closer to my house if I go out the front door instead of the back door where I came in.
That's just fine. Goodbye, sis.
Goodbye.
George and Bonnie with Fibber McGee and Molly. Earlier this afternoon, Rick Lehman from Stone Mill Suites picked up the phone, and he called me and he said, "Damon, I've got some guests that can't get into the show. Please raise your hand if you are those guests." Don't be shy. Don't be shy. I see one, two, three of you, at least four. You guys made it. Well, fabulous. So on account of that, well, we were really nice enough to. Are you enjoying yourself at the show? Was it worth it? Very good. Well, see, we got you into the show, so I'm not going to give you the gift. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to give this gift to somebody completely at random. This is a can of Spam. Spam was invented in the 1400s. Rediscovered in the 1940s and put into a can. Welcome to town. All right. We didn't have a quiz today. We only had a can of Spam to give away. It's as if I step back into the 40s. Now, they sang so wonderfully earlier. Shall we hear them again? Yeah. It's the Back Fence Women.
I wrote my mother. Sure of you.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, no. Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but you. So just be true to me. Don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me.
Fence Women, don't sit under the apple tree. Hey, you know, Maria, with all this excitement about the 1940s, I forgot, you know, it's April. That can only mean one thing, that tax time is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. I wish I had...
Howdy, folks! It's great to see you at my favorite time of the year. It's been a long, cold, snowy winter. I'm just like you. I get a little giddy when winter, the grip of winter loosens up. Because what comes next? Taxes! Yay, taxes! That's my favorite time of the year. I just love to see the little kids splashing in the puddles and their parents walking around with boxes full of papers and receipts that they're going to bring to me, a tax man, the trusty tax man. You can trust me with your taxes. Let's see. Today is April 11th, so we got one, two, carry the one. 18 days, 18 days until your taxes are due. I think that's right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. The IRS is pretty flexible. So I want to help you prepare for your meeting with me. I want to make sure that you're aware of all your deductions that are legit. Seriously. Okay, first, all of you who are captains of whaling boats, let's see a show of hands. Okay, yep, okay. Remember, you can write off $10,000 worth of ship repairs. Serious. And speaking of medical expenses, those of you whose kid has a large underbite, but you were too cheap to get him or her braces, so instead you signed him up for clarinet lessons. Well, those clarinet lessons, those are tax deductible. True. I am not making this up. Okay. Surgical enhancements. Okay. Yeah, as long as those are related directly to your line of business. Okay. All right. I know a few of you, it looks like you might be out there running a junkyard. Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Hang on to those receipts for cat food. All right? Because if your cats, if you've employed your cats to sort of keep the mice and the snakes at bay, that's a totally legitimate tax deduction. Okay, but if your cat got eaten up by the junkyard dog, well, bring in the receipt for the cat, too. Hey, Damon.
Yeah.
You know that body oil that you use to make your skin kind of glisten in the sun?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're a professional bodybuilder, right? I thought I saw you at that contest over in Canton the other day.
Sure, that was me.
Tax deductible.
Excellent.
The body oil is tax deductible.
Boy, do I ever! I trust you.
And there are many more, you know, sort of unique to your own situation. So, hurry on up and come and see me, the trusty tax man. You can trust me with your taxes.
That's Pete, the trusty tax man. I trust him. I trust him.
I do too. Yeah, our taxes are done, though. Thank goodness.
I definitely trust him. Well, it wouldn't be an Over the Back Fence show without a sing-along. We hope you guys know this one.
When a star is born, they possess a gift or two. One of them is this, they have